Okay, so we have here Abudi Sharbi, who's head of coaching and training for Newfield Europe. Abudi, I was in your session on the art of ontological coaching, as you know, and I just thought it was just really inspiring. You covered a lot of ground, and I'm aware we can't cover nearly as much ground in a short sort of interview. But I just sort of wondered if you could give a little bit of a flavour for people who aren't familiar with ontological coaching, a flavour of sort of some of the key elements.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, in 5 minutes, how much can we do? And it's a program that takes 9 months to complete. But we could say that one of the things that I think it addresses is to make a distinction between, if you like, tell me what you want and I'll help you get there, which we could call transactional coaching, and ontological coaching, which is really much more about transforming the way that we take a look at life, because we make basic presuppositions about who we are and about what life is. And then we live as if those were true. And not only that, but we're usually blind to them. So we might go through life believing that the world is dangerous and that we shouldn't take risks. And we never really question that. And then every action that we could take lives inside that set of assumptions. So in ontological coaching, one of the things we're really looking at is, who is the self that we have become? And what does that make available to us? And what does that stop us from doing? And then, if you like, what we're really doing is expanding range, so that the things that I think I can't do, maybe I could do if I changed the way that I saw life. That's a very simplistic way of putting it, but that's a beginning point of the philosophy that we're about.
Right. Now, that sounds brilliant. And I understand that there's various sort of lenses you come at it through. So sort of language was one, wasn't it? Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. So if you like, we could say that there are actually three lenses, which is language, emotions and body. And all of those three lenses, or all of the three territories, shape the self that we think that we are. And I'll give you an example, which is a simplistic example, but hopefully will make the point, which is that if we deal with somebody and they say that they're an overwhelmed, the tell me what you want and I'll help you get their approach would be, okay, let's get you some technology that could help you, like a BlackBerry and iPhone, so you can check emails on the move, or let's help you get a secretary, or go on a time management course so you learn to prioritize, etc. And if we look at ontological coaching, we might go a little bit deeper and find out that actually the person that we're working with has no idea how to say no, for example, or that they really need to be liked, which leads them to say yes to things that really they should say no to in terms of requests on their time, etc. And then if we look at that saying no, the capacity to say no, or changing the desire I have to be liked that shapes my responses to requests, you know, there's a linguistic aspect to that, which is the capacity to say no and articulate no. But there's also an emotional piece with that, which is that when people say no, they might feel guilty, or they might feel like they're being bad because they've learned that they should be kind and helpful, etc. And often there's a body that goes with it, so that, you know, I might say no, but you can read in the way that I say it, in the way that I hold it, that actually, if you push me hard enough, you'll get a yes. Mm-hmm. So when we look at that, simply saying no, or simply knowing that you have the right to say no, isn't enough to effect change. There's also some emotional work that might be done, and there's some somatic or body work that needs to be done to help us build a self, if you like, a different kind of self, who can say no and hold it and be heard by others as meaning it.
So it's pretty deep stuff that you're doing, because I mean, one of my sort of senses I get from a lot of coaches I speak to is that they sometimes get very frustrated, because they'll get to the point where the client is aware, for example, that they find it difficult to say no. But, you know, it's just the change just isn't happening. And it seems to me that sort of having these three lenses, you know, you'll sort of have much more chance of actually making the transformation happen.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think one of the problems is that we live in a paradigm which prioritizes information above everything else. So we think if we know what to do, that will be enough. And, you know, without wanting to deride them, I suspect that's largely the premise on which self-help books are written. You know, they give you information and advice about how to do things, and, you know, you have the right to say no, or 10 steps to getting what you need in life, or, you know, whatever. And we read information, and we go, oh, that's it. It's simply about getting information. And actually, you know, we are more than just linguistic beings. We're also emotional beings, and we're somatic beings. And if we don't work at those levels, then transformation is very superficial, really, because it only goes to, okay, let's have the awareness. And honestly, you know, I think most people know what they need to do in order to lead a more effective life. And yet what stops us isn't that we don't know what to do. It's the being that we are, that the emotional habits that we have and the way we move through space. And that's where we don't normally take a look. So, yes, you're right. It is deeper than we might think, I suppose.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And you've also talked in your session and elsewhere about sort of, you know, this being an approach for our times, if you like. So I wondered if you could sort of tell me a little bit more about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been speaking a little bit about, you know, individual awareness, but there's also collective awareness. And one of the things that we could say about ontological coaching or ontological philosophy is it's really sort of saying that more of the same isn't an option. And one of the things that we have done, I think, is to create a culture where everything is measurable and we prioritize the rational or the hyper-rational, if you like. And, you know, if we look around us, we see many things are changing, many crises happening from the poll tax.
That's a long time ago.
It's riots. These aren't really poll tax riots. But, you know, riots, the Occupy Wall Street, the financial crises that we're facing, what's happening in the Eurozone with Greece and Italy and Spain, etc., the Middle East uprisings, the Arab Spring, as it's called. All of those are saying, I think, things can't go on the way that they have done. And what I see happening when I read the newspapers and listen to people speaking on news programs, etc., is people saying, well, let's just try and change this, or let's just try and tweak this. And it looks to me like people are trying to do more of the same. And what's needed are real deep questions about how have we, what presuppositions have we been living with? What things are we attached to that keep us going the same way, rather than maybe we need to transform the way that we see things and the way that the world is moving? And, you know, what we take for granted today, of course, 500 or 600 years ago was completely new and radical then. And maybe we need to do deep rooted radical change as a collective group of people, as well as individuals and organizations.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Aboudi. That's lots of food for thought and lots of questions to be asked. Thank you very much.
It is a deep subject, and I don't know what we've been able to do in 5 minutes, but it's very rich territory to explore, definitely.
Brilliant. Thanks, Aboudi.